going to look at that and what it means for God's righteousness to be given to us. God's righteousness to pay for our sin debt. Yes, you've heard this before. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Look, we're going through the book of Romans, and sometimes we just go like, gosh, could we get something new? Hopefully you're new every day. Hopefully this actually fills you up and builds you up. But the good news is that God paid for your debt. The good news is that he willingly did it because he loves you right where you're at, but refused to leave you there. And yet many of us, all of us as a matter of fact, have said, meh, at some point. Most of you have submitted your life to Jesus Christ, or you're in a spot where you're pretty sure you have, and I don't know. So here you got a guy that is, by God's design, an evangelist, so I'm going to give everybody a chance every single time to submit to Jesus Christ. One time I was a youth pastor, and we were, not just one time, it was 8 years, but I was a youth pastor for 8 years, and we were at this event called Big Splash, and there was a bunch of different bands and some speakers, and it was cool, and they were doing this baptism afterwards, so speak of Big Splash, right? It was really cool, and before they did the baptism, they said, hey, has anybody not submitted their life to Jesus Christ? Is there anybody who's giving their life to the Lord? Is there anybody that has acknowledged that God is God and they're not, and humbled themselves and giving their lives to Jesus, confessing he's the Lord? And this kid that was already scheduled to get baptized gets up and starts walking towards that thing. And I'm like, So I kind of chased after him. I said, hey, bro, what's going on? He goes, well, they said, are you giving your life to Jesus? And I do that every day. I was like, okay, preacher. That's good. You don't have to get saved every day, but you are saved every day by who God is, by the sanctification after you've been justified. Justified means just as if you'd never sinned. It's the righteousness of God that justifies us, but we have to have faith in Jesus. And that's a gift also. So there's my message. Let's pray. You wish. Okay, here we go. We're set apart by God and by his grace and his mercy. Lord, would you have your way in us as we read some ancient text for today's living and for who you are and for who we can be and who we are in you. God, have your way through us. Would you do in us what only you can? I pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, we're in the book of Romans, like John said and like I said, and we've been talking about this for a while. We're going to be there through September, through the beginning of September. We're in Romans 3 today, and we're going to go 21 through 26. Verse 20 is talking of, like, summarizes some stuff, so I'll read it while you're turning to Romans 3, or you're going to get it on the screen. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. We cannot follow enough rules for God to say, you are righteous. You did all these things. Because we just don't do it all. Everybody needs a Savior. And many of us prefer us to be the Savior or somebody else. Maybe we could pay them. Maybe we could lean into them and they could do that for us. We don't want to submit to a God. And I don't know if you heard this last week, and some of you weren't here, so I'll just lay it out for you really quick. There's this guy, Thomas Aquinas, who said, all of us want the benefits of God without the person of God. But there comes a point in our lives where some of us, our eyes are open, and we don't just want the benefit. We believe that the person of God is the benefit, that him being God in our lives, him being Savior, him being forgiver, him being leader, him being judge, and him paying the price for us, like we're going to look at today, the judge paid the price for us. That's what I want, is I want more of him. And that's why law and keeping rules can't save you. It's only God that can save you. It's not you. So let's go to it. Romans 3, and I'll go 21 through 24. But now, the righteousness, this is the right and pleasing way to God, okay? That he says what's right. The righteousness of God has been manifest or revealed apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the law, the prophets, all of the Bible says, yeah, there's a God and he's awesome and he's perfect. But the law can't save you, only God can. This is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For how many people who believe? Oh, I heard a lot of you say it, all. For all who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So for all who believe, that's for all who believe, and for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that's everybody. Can you just gently look to your neighbor and say, you fall short? You fall short. I don't even know why that was so funny. I'm trying to figure it out. Look, but all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All fall short, but all can be redeemed. Not everybody is saved. Some people have taken this to mean that everybody gets saved, no matter who you are, no matter what you did. That's true if you have faith in Jesus Christ. If you have faith. All those who have faith in Jesus Christ are saved. Not just everybody who's got a pulse. Everybody who ever had blood run through their veins. I want to get right to it. Justification is a big word. I have a whole lot of things in my mind about that. I'm going to have to snapshot and give you just an explanation that God is gracious enough to have given to me a long time ago. Justification is faith in Jesus alone, which means you are declared innocent because of Jesus. It's a legal term, justification, just as if you've never sinned. That only comes through Jesus. So like this came, this is like the judgment from God that you are set free from sin. You're justified through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a thing called sanctification. Does anybody know what sanctification means? It's different from justification, but it is salvation. So there's justification and there's sanctification. What's sanctification? There you go. The process of being made more and more like him. It's this being made holy. You said you saw maybe at the very beginning, holy, holy. Could you show us that again really quick, please, and thank you. Thanks, Mindy. Holy, holy. There it is. We're 100% holy if we're in God, but he's making us holy. So how in the world does that work? If I was justified, God said, look, you're a sinner set apart forever. Sorry. That's the judgment. But he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for that sin. You are justified. But sanctification is the process of living that out. You don't earn that, but you're a part of that process. You have to obey him, and you want to. You don't just come to Christ for the cookies. You come to Christ because he's the greatest treasure and you want him. And so you start to live for him. And his Holy Spirit says, not this way. His Holy Spirit says, what you've done is not right. So confess it. Let's move on from that. Let's learn from that. Let's not go with shame. Let's go with godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And then there's glorification. And that's the end when everything is perfect. Nothing's bad. That's the heaven that we understand. It's the finished state of our being. But I'm going to tell you, he says, now, we saw this in verse 21, now the righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law. He wants us to be justified and set free. Look, you guys, there's this big, fat debate going on about the Greek language that the Bible, the New Testament, was written in. Koine Greek, it was conversational daily Greek way back in the day. I am not an expert of it. There's some of our elders that understand that. There's a ton of you that have studied a bunch of it. I'm not a Greek scholar. I read about Greek from Greek scholars. That's how I've learned about it. But this word redemption, and I just want to show it, just the word redemption. What does it mean? What do you understand redemption to mean? Forgiveness? Saved? Purchased? Say it again. Moved from where I was into him. Made new. All these things. What's that? Amen. All these are beautiful and they're real. Let me just go to the Greek words. There's three different Greek words for redemption. The third word that we're going to look at this morning is what it actually is in this passage. They have handwritten copies of the original, so they know what specific word Paul used. You guys have heard of agoraphobia, right? What's agoraphobia? Yeah, basically being scared of going out. Open places, groups. Agora was like the marketplace. It was the place where people bought and sold things. Specifically, where people were bought and sold. The first word for redemption that these people would have understood was agorazo. Agorazo was where somebody was purchased for slavery. They redeemed that person from, this is just so twisted, from being somebody else's property to being theirs. That's not the word that we're looking at. Then there's exoagorazo, which means you've purchased somebody and they could never be purchased again. Can never be purchased again. Now that sounds more like it, right? Now I'm the slave of God. He purchased me. Exoagorazo. But that's not the word that this is. This other one, and it's a doozy. Apollutrosis. This means to be purchased and set free. Never to be a slave again. That's what the blood of Jesus does for those who believe in him. Not, well, I guess I have to be a slave. Or I'll never be a slave of anybody else's, which sounds pretty good. And there's even some Bible that says, look, we're God's slaves. We're slaves to righteousness, actually. But this is actually saying we've been set free entirely to want to serve and be a part of his kingdom. To be set free is what we are called to. I love this. This man goes into the agora to purchase a slave. And the slave has no idea who that man is. And that man pays for him and then says, you're entirely free. You never have to serve anybody again unless you choose to. What do you think that man's response is going to be to the person who purchased him and set him free? Jerk! How dare you set me free? What do you think the response would be? Indebted forever? Grateful? Do you have any shoes I could clean for you? I mean, there's something, right? You feel like you want to do something. Sometimes you feel indebted like you got to pay it back. You couldn't pay that back. A slave didn't have a chance to make money. Set free, redeemed. That's what redemption is. It's apollutosis, this that you and I would be set free forever because somebody else paid for it. Somebody tell me who paid for it according to what we've just read and what you've known and what you've heard in the Bible. It's Jesus. Oh, we're in church, friends. You can get it. Come on. Come on. It's Jesus. It's like that little Sunday school where the teacher puts on the screen a picture of a squirrel, and they say, okay, friends, what is this? And like, I know it's a squirrel, but we're at church. It's Jesus.
No, it's a squirrel. You don't have to just blurt out Jesus, but this time you can.
Jesus. But it's not just this idea of acknowledging that Jesus paid for you. It's faith in Jesus. It's believing in Jesus. This word faith is pistis. Some people would pronounce it pistis. But that's fully leaning your weight on something. To fully lean your weight on Jesus means that you're acknowledging that he's it. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 2:8 really quick about grace and peace. It's so wonderful. And faith, I mean, not peace, but peace comes from it. Paul's writing another letter to another church. Romans is a letter to the church in Rome, the Christian church, both Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians. This one is to a group of also mixed people, but mostly Gentile Christians in Ephesus. And he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. Faith is a gift from God. Are you receiving that gift and exercising that gift? Have you? You have the opportunity today. Wait, are you trying to tell me that it's just as simple as believing and leaning on Jesus and I'll be saved? Yep. And then you got to get up tomorrow and live it out. You're going to need Jesus for this one. And he's not like, I don't feel like it. He's totally here. That's what he came for. He's like, let's go. It's game time. Every day. Gosh, that can get exhausting. Come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus came first. We sang a song, Come Jesus Come. He's already came. But you can actually have him every single day. Sanctification, living it out, being holy, being full. Well, I blew it today. He doesn't go, sink, Peter, sorry. Like, okay, come to me. Gosh, I'm like cutting and editing on the fly here. Let's go back to Romans 3. We'll read verse 25 really quick. As you're getting there again, I'll read verse 24 first. So all sinned, it says in verse 23, and all fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's not perfect, but all can be justified just as if they never sinned by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's redemption. There's this freedom to never, ever go to slavery again. Free. This is the Christ Jesus whom God put forward as a propitiation. That's a big, huge word, and it doesn't just mean atonement. It doesn't just mean payment. It means both of those things. But what it means is that God's wrath is appeased and you're reconciled to him by the same person, Jesus. The one who died for us, the one who died as us, the one who paid our price. 2 Corinthians says it like this, he who knew no sin, Jesus, became our sin that we might become his righteousness. That's not a fair deal at all. Thank you, God, that it's not a fair deal. I couldn't earn it, and I can't lose it once I receive it. It's a gift from God. But he's like, look, this is whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Again, putting all your faith, all your weight, leaning on him, you receive it by faith. Well, it doesn't feel different. I prayed this prayer when I was at VBS, or what you guys call day camp, and I just don't feel different. Did you believe? Did you trust? Yeah, in that moment, I fully did. Keep walking in that. He'll show you. It's not like if you click your heels 3 times and say there's no place like Jesus, you'll be set free. If you just memorize Genesis through Revelation, which is really, really hard, probably impossible, but maybe somebody could do it, even that wouldn't save you. Only Jesus can, and he does, willingly. And so because you're saved, you're like, I'm going from love, not for it. I'm going to live this baby out. I'm going to try. I'm going to get in the Puget Sound traffic and not lose my salvation. You're like, testify. So this is whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he'd passed over former sins. So much to that. What in the world? Forbearance is delaying judgment. Forbearance isn't winking at sin. So let me ask you this. Did God ignore or wink at sin in the past? A lot of people think the Old Testament God is different from the New Testament God. Same God. Yeah, but what about the whole flood thing? What about the Sodom and Gomorrah thing? What about the fact that he gave them so many opportunities to repent? You and I sit in judgment of God often. If I was God, I wouldn't do it that way. If I was God, I would have wiped out all those pedophiles. If I was God, I would have wiped out all of those thieves. If I was God, hey friend, you're not. Me either. And thank God for that. Did he ignore it? No. He judged sin and yet gave us a chance to repent of it. Go back just one page from Romans 3 to Romans 2. Pastor John preached on this, so I'll just read it to you one more time. Romans 2, 4. Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and his patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? What am I doing with his kindness, his forbearance, his patience? Am I judging it? Why didn't he judge other people? Why didn't he wipe other people out? Why didn't he wipe you out? Yeah, I don't want to think about that. That's just too much. I'm not as bad as them or him or her. Hey, you ever been late to a plane? Anybody? We're not going to laugh at you. Go ahead. Buck's like, I'm not late. That's a lot of money. Okay, great. All right. Fair. But some of us have, right? If you're 5 minutes after they close the gate or 5 hours after you close the gate, you're not getting on the plane. If 2 + 2 = 4 and you came up with 8, but your neighbor came up with 37, stupid. Maybe more stupid, but there's still two stupid people doing math right there. We all fall short. He hasn't winked at sin. He's judged it. And he judged it by his son, Jesus. The cross is where God said, sin is wrong. I hate it. My wrath will be poured out on it. So God's wrath and his love are on display on the cross of Christ. Romans 3:26 says, he did this to show his righteousness at the present time, right now, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus enforces justice and then pays for it. He doesn't wink at sin. He judges it. Listen, there's this really cool guy who passed away quite some time ago. And his name was R.C. Sproul. He said this: it's not at the point of judgment that a sinner is redeemed, but at the point of sentencing. like you've already been judged. And you and I are going to hell in a handbasket, as the old saying goes. And God said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Though in and of myself I'm a sinner, once I've received the benefit of Christ's propitiation, his payment, his appeasement, I'm just in the sight of God. Just by the virtue of Christ's righteousness. I'm a sinner by the virtue of my own performance, but I'm righteous because of Jesus' righteousness. God is not winking at our sins, friends. He's forbearing so that we may avail ourselves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. Look at that statement. I want to unpack something for you, but I have to do it quickly. God is light, and God is love. 1 John 1:5 talks about the fact that there's no darkness in him at all. I'll read it for you once I get there. It's taking me 10 seconds longer than it should to get there. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and we proclaim to you, John says, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So he can't wink at sin. He's got to do something about it. And so, what did he do about it? 1 John 4:8 talks about the spirit, the character, the reality of who God is. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's light. There's no darkness. He's love. What does he do about it? Jesus. He pays the price through Jesus. He actually condemned sin in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Sin died with him. He was put in the grave. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. Death is now defeated. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And he doesn't wink at sin. He paid for it. So let me tell you a quick story about a judge. There's a judge who got into his chambers and was looking over what he was going to be judging that day. And he saw his son's name. His son was 17 years old, and his son came before the court not knowing if his dad was going to be the judge that day or not. And he had recklessly been driving, and he got in a lot of trouble. And so the son gets into the courtroom, and he notices it's his dad. And he's like, yes. And his dad listens to the arguments, and after an hour, he says, young man, you've broken the law. You've endangered people in this community. The law says that you are condemned. So I sentence you to a year in jail or $1,000. And he stands up and says, Dad, I can't pay that. You know I don't have a penny to my name. He says, I am the judge in this court. Sit down. You have been sentenced. And the bailiff comes up, and the kid's just like, And the gavel goes down, and daddy takes off the robe, and he comes down, and he puts his arm around his son, and he says, I love you, and I'm writing that check. What do you do with grace and truth? Do you imagine if that young man said, I'm not taking your stinking pity. It was a harsh judgment. I'm going to figure it out on my own. Let's see what jail has to offer. And yet, every single one of us has said no thanks to God's grace at one point or another. He's the judge. And he wants to be your father. He paid the price for us. So how do you move towards Jesus? Some of you just need to flat out humble yourself and confess. Confess that he's the Lord. Confess that he's made it right. Confess that he paid the price that only you could pay. He died for you as you, and he rose from the dead. You believe that in your heart, so confess it and walk that out every single day, believing that, loving him, turning back to him when you blow it. How do you move towards him? You quit moving away from him. You realize that his word is his word, and so you get into it. So some of you moving towards Jesus is actually spending time in his word, spending time with others that are going through his word, hearing what they're saying and wondering, is that true, and looking through it and maybe believing and maybe not, but just wrestling with it. That right now media thing is no joke. Forget the Netflix of Bible study. Call it whatever you want. It's free to you. Email John M. Go on our website. Go on our app. Find out how to get that going and study and ask questions. Yeah, but it's baseball season. It'll be all right. Take a little break. I mean, I'm a baseball fan. But I actually am a committed follower of Jesus. I need his word. And I know you do too. Patrick's got a men's Bible study. Patrick, would you stand up really quick, please, and thank you? Would you come talk to Patrick if you're a man and would like to study the book of Romans? Is that what you guys are doing? Yeah. How really cool. We're actually going through that as a church. All right, sweet. There's women's ministry. There's men's ministry. We just had our breakfast yesterday. It was the best breakfast I ever made. No big deal. Thank you. Took too long and they had to wait, but whatever, it was great. You guys, there's youth ministry, there's children's ministry, there's small groups, there's people that want to lead other people. There's a chance to serve for VBS, there's a chance to serve with children's. There's a chance for you to be a part of letting people know when they come in and can't find a spot, hey, I'll sit with you. You could be part of the host team. You could sign up for that. You could come in and be. You could just walk around this town picking up trash when they go, what are you doing? Well, Jesus picked up the trash in my life. Bam, look, I'm about to preach. Don't be corny, but hunger and thirst for his right way, and you'll be satisfied. And it starts with faith. That's a gift. And then you live that out every day. Take up your cross, Jesus said, daily. Deny yourself and follow me. That's something nobody else can do for you. You get to say no. Colossians 3 says, clothe yourself with humility. The outfit may be laid out for you, but you got to put it on. And you can. If you're hearing him, do it. If you're hearing him and ignoring him, I pray that you come to your senses sooner than later. Well, it's just so hard. I know it's why he said, take up your cross. It's dying to yourself daily. And he loves you, and he's enough for you. He set you apart if you're his. Look, I know that a lot of you know that I love Christian rap, and I make no apologies. He's given you the news, so pass it and be graphic, because the masses have skipped classes. But be careful how you word it, because you might change the verdict. Tell people the truth, that Jesus loves them, and they couldn't even earn it. Tell the truth. Live it out if you know it. If you don't, come to Christ today. Be saved and walk it out. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for a parking lot that's full because this place is full, but not because of the fullness of it, but because of the human beings and their lives and their stories that are represented by this full room and by these beautiful children downstairs. God, thank you that your truth is being proclaimed, not just here, but all through Sultan, Snohomish County, even in this state, and even in our country, and even in the world. And people are coming to you. May we be saved, and may we introduce people to you, and may we see more people saved, more people growing, more people discipled, and more people making disciples. Not so we can say, oh, how cool are we, but how awesome is our God who saves those who are lost. God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.